Okay, so we are on Dalet Amud Beis, and we're going to be doing Hey Omen Aleph today. So we left off four lines from the bottom on Dalet Amud Beis. We're learning some of the teachings of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. And Rabbi Shua ben Levi says, again, four lines from the bottom, the fourth word on the line, V'amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, so Rabbi Shua ben Levi taught, Lo asa Yisrael se'igal, el yitain pitkon peh lebali tshuva. The only reason why, in last week's Parsha in Kitisa, the Jewish people actually committed the Avira of the Chet HaEgel was in order to give an opening to those who are going to want to do Tshuva. Shneamar, so as the Torah describes later in Sefer Dvarim, that God says about that generation, Mitein v'haya levavam zeh, who has given it that their heart was like this, L'yira oti kol yamim. That they feared me, they had a year, they had awe of God all of their days. As Rashi explains, it sounds like this is describing the way that they stood at Har Sinai, and again, the general descriptor of that generation. That it sounds like they were very strong, religiously courageous people, and therefore, how could it possibly be that they would fall prey to this Chet HaEgel? And therefore, the drasha is from Shua ben Levi, they only did it in order to cause, to be as an opportunity for those to do tshuva. This is similarly stated to the teaching of Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shim Bar Yochai, Lo David Ra'ui Lo Samaisa. That David was not, it wasn't appropriate, or it wasn't like something he would be capable of regarding the sin, the chet with Bathsheba. Well, Yisrael ruin lo samaisa. And the Jewish people as a collective were not, it wasn't worthy of them, it wasn't that they were capable of doing such a heinous avera. So what do you mean David wasn't? It says, lo David ruin lo samaisa. What's the proof that David, you know, couldn't have been intentionally doing this avera? As the pasuk says in Tehillim, v'libi chalal bikirbi. That my heart remains empty inside of me. And Rashi explains that it's a reference to his total ability to master his inclinations. Therefore, if he's a master of all of his passions and all of his inclinations, then how would he have done, why would he have done this questionable act with Bathsheba? It must be he did it for a different reason. And this was a proof for the Jewish people as a collective. Again, as we saw from Yeshua ben Levi, the Pasuk says, Mitein v'hai levavam zel lehem v'yira oti kol yamim. So why did they do it? El lama asu. So why did they do it? Now we're on top of Haman Aleph. Lomer lecha, shimchata yachid, omru, kalichetzu yachid. Then if a person who does an avera as an individual, and they think, I've lost everything, I have no longer any connection to God. So you could use David as the example, as the paradigm of how even after an individual messes up, tshuva is still possible. Vin chatu tzibor. And if a community sins, so Omrim, lo kalech etzel tzibor, go seek out the Bnei Yisrael as a collective by the Chet HaEgel as a paradigm, as a example of a community who's able to do, who does a sin and yet does tshuva. So the Gemara then says, Diash v'tzricha, you need both examples. You need both an example of an individual and an example of a community. Diash min and yachid, so if we only taught the case of David, mash mishum de lo mefarsim chata. I mean, why do we have to state it? Why do we have to write it? Because if we didn't write about it, who would have known that David did this thing? He was in the privacy of his own home. But since with the tzibor, that there it's a public desecration of God's name, you might think they can't come back from it, and therefore you need to specify that even if it comes to a community, who might say there's a greater chil Hashem when a community does a chet, nevertheless, tshuva is still a possibility. The Gemara says, Tzibor, you shouldn't have fashi rachmayu. You might say, if only thought the case of the Chet HaEgel, you might think, oh, because it was a Tzibor, and it's a collection of individuals, therefore they have greater zechus, and therefore that's why they get tshuva, but an individual who doesn't have the community supporting them. In that way, of yachid lo, alima zechuse ema lo. You might think that because, therefore we have to teach the story also of David, because this individual doesn't have the same amount of merits as a community, therefore they wouldn't have tshuva as an option, therefore we had to teach books cases. It's important to recognize, at least according to Maharam, there's a very fundamental machlokas in how to interpret this Gemara between Rashi and Tosfos. Because Rashi, look at the first Rashi, the top here, Haman Aleph. So Rashi says, Zeras Hamelech, Haisa, Yehim Pitchon Pelishabim. Is that, it sounds like from like Rashi's understanding of this scenario of Chet HaEgel and David Hamelech, is there was no choice. It was like an act of divine determinism that removed the free choice from David and from the Jewish people, and they had no other option but to sin. At least what the Maharam reads, the first Tosfos on the Daf of the Vir Masav Tzricha, as the way Tosfos is reading the Gemara, isn't that you know, why did they sin? As in, they didn't have the ability to choose otherwise. Rather, why was the Torah writing this? What is the messer? What's the message the Torah is giving us by listing almost like the laundry, the dirty laundry of the Jewish people and David HaMelech? And therefore, it's teaching us a message, but not because they didn't have a choice. Obviously, they had a choice. But rather, it's why are we writing it in this, as a story? And again, to teach us, to communicate to us from Tosa's message, that regardless of whether we're an individual or we're a community, tshuva is never not an option. So the Gemara continues, Raka, six lines down. V'hainu d'Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmini Amar Rav Yonatan. He quotes in the following pasuk, Ma'i d'chtiv, why does it say regarding David in Sefer Shmuel, Ne'um David ben Ishai, Ne'um ha'gever hukam al? Behold, David, the son of Yishai, and this, behold, this person who's been lifted up. What do you mean he's been hukam? What has he been lifted up upon? So the Gemara says, Nu'am David ben Yishai, shikim olah shal tshuva, that he's been lifted up as the paradigm, as the exemplar of tshuva. V'am Rishmuel bar Nachmini, Rav Yonatan, again, since we saw one teaching of Rishmuel bar Nachmini, we'll give us another one. It says the following, Kol osa mitzvah achas v'ol mazeh, mikad maso v'holech ha'safon av lom haba. Even a person who does just one mitzvah, in this world, it precedes this person and sort of like is his front man, so to speak, as they enter the world to come. What's the proof of this? It's a pasuk in Yeshaya, Shenamar v'holeich lefanecha tzidkecha, that your tzedek, your righteousness, not being referenced to understand by Chazal as our mitzvos, will go before us, v'kvod Hashem yasvecha, and the honor of God will gather us up, and that's a reference to Olam Haba. Look, and then what's the opposite? Kol over avir achas melafafto melchitol yomadim. And anyone who does just one avera, that sin will encircle us. As Rashi says, malafafto is me'atafto, will sort of become like a coat. It will encircle us, it will overwhelm us, and that will carry us, that will precede us in our day of judgment. Shneamar, as the pasuk says in Iyov, yilafto archot darkam. The ways of their paths do wind. That there's some sort of windingness that our sins will do for us in the world to come. So Rabbi Elazar Omer, Kshura bo kekelav, not just that they will precede us and bring us, sort of like pull us to our Yom HaDin, but rather they will be connected to us like a dog. What's the reference here? Shenamar, v'lo shema leha l'shachev atzleha, liyosima. That's describing the interaction between Yosef and Eshes Potiphar, that he did not listen to her, to lie with her and to be with her. So obviously, if he's not lying with her, he's not going to be with her. So why is there the doubling, the seemingly superfluous repetition here of the shachev atzla lihot ima? So the Gemara's a drasha. It says the shachev atzla bol mazeh, to be with her in this world, lihot ima b'olam haba, and also to be with her in the next world. Some sort of like soulmates discussion that's going on. Okay, so now things get very, very wild. Amar Reish Lakish, bo v'nachzik tov l'avoseinu. Let's all go give, you know, praise and thanksgiving and gratitude to our ancestors. Why? Not because, you know, they enabled us, but rather it says like this, Shel mali hein lo chatu, anu lo banu lo olam. If it wasn't for the fact that our ancestors did the chet ha'egel, we would not have been born. What? What do you mean we would not have been born? So it brings a pasuk. Shneamar, ani amarti Elohim atem, ubnei ayom kulchem. God says about mankind in Tehillim, behold, I say, you are almost like, you are angelic, you are divine, you are lords on high. Chavalta ma'aseichem, you've destroyed, your actions have been destructive. And therefore the next pasuk continues in Tehillim, achein ki adan temutum. And therefore, because of your actions, because of your misdeeds, you will be finite, you will be mortal as man. So Gemara says, the implication of this pasuk is, l'meimra di lo chatu l'havu molidi, that if they wouldn't have sinned, they would have been not just immortal, but they would have been divine beings that don't give birth to human beings. So the Gemara says, that doesn't make any sense. Baksiv, the Pasuk says, in the beginning of Bereishis, it's the first mitzvah, Vatem Peru Revu. What do you mean? The mitzvah, it would be a great like example. Like, there's a mitzvah to have children. So what are you telling me, that they're not going to have children because there'll be all these divine angelic beings? So the Gemara says, no, not a proof. Ad Sinai. Yeah. There was a command to have children, but that was only until Sinai. But at Sinai, that's when we became this level of Elohim, Ibn Elyon. So therefore, we changed our entire structure. So the Gemara says, wait a second, by Sinai, namiksiv. But that can't be the case, because also by Sinai, it says, Lechem mor lehem, shuvu lechem lohechem. It says that after the experience of Matan Torah, it says to the individuals, go back to your houses and restore natural marital relations. So seemingly the focus here is that the marital relations you know, would seemingly the assumption is, would be to have children. So Gemara says, no, that's not a proof. The Simchas Ona, that this is what would be a reference not to having children, a peruvu, but rather of the obligation of having sexual intimacy irrespective of children will come. So this actually is a very important Gemara, because in general we talk about what is the sexual ethic, what's the sexuality according, you know, the philosophy of sexuality according to Judaism. So you might think it's very utilitarian. Oh, it's all about having children, you shouldn't have a positive sexual relationship with your spouse. And you see from the Gemara here, as a very sex-positive idea, that even if they couldn't have children, you would still be having, you know, sex, because this would be a simchas, ona, the rejoicing of ona, because that's important in and of itself, irrespective of the children that would come from it. So the Gemara says, wait a second. But that same moment afterwards, it says, v'aksiv l'mani tav lahem l'vnehem. Well, so that by following the Torah, it will be good for you and your children. Sounds like they're going to have children. Not that they'd be these divine beings who don't have children. So the Gemara says, no, not a proof. L'osana omdim al har Sinai. No, it was referring to those kids who they already had before they stood at Sinai. V'amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish says, wait a second. Ma'at dechtiv, it says, zeh sefer tolos adam. So that this is, it says in the beginning of Bereishis, that this is the book of the generations of man. So Gemara says, what's that a reference to? V'chi sefer hayelo la'adam harishon? What there really was like some book of the generations of man that Adam had. Rather, says the Gemara, Malame, we learn from here, Shehir lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Adam Rishon, dor v'dor shav, dor v'chachamav, dor v'panarsav. That God actually showed Adam the future of the, you know, the future trajectory of Jewish history, to the point that he saw Rabbi Akiva. It says, Kevin Shehigil, dor Rabbi Akiva, samech b'torasso, v'netatzav v'misasso. That he got to the generation of Rabbi Akiva, and he was samech, he rejoiced at the Torah Rabbi Akiva was teaching. But however, he became very sad and depressed at the ultimate, the end that befell Rabbi Akiva. So, and then he said, seeing this, Amro v'lima yikru reyecha, how mighty and transcendent are your thoughts. So again, what does it sound like? It sounds like from the Gemara, this teaching, that there always was going to be the case that there are going to be people having children. So how could you possibly suggest that at Har Sinai, we got to this level of becoming like angelic divine beings who wouldn't have children? And even more so, says the Gemara, V'amar Rav Yossi, Ein ben David ba asher yichud neshamas shebaguf. It sounds like the Mashiach can't come until there's a certain amount of souls. Again, if you want to look more into this Tosafos, and Ein ben David gets into a little more, that some sort of mystical idea that there has to be a certain amount of souls to be born, so until Mashiach could come. So that also is a proof that there was always the case that people were going to have, not just going to be mortal, but going to have children. Shenamar, as it says, Ki lo le'olam ariv, v'lo le'netzach etzof. It says in the pasuk here in Yeshayahu that I will not for eternity will I quarrel, and not for eternity will I be angry. Ki ruach mufana yatov, that the spirit before me will enwrap me. V'nishmos ani asisi, and these nishamot I make. So it sounds like, again, second proof, that there really is going to be children. So how could we have this statement of Reish Lakish that at Har Sinai the Jewish people became almost quasi-divine beings who wouldn't have had children? So the Gemara says, no. Before the Gemara continues and says, Lotema, anu lo banu lo olam, elik misha lo banu lo olam. So it says, no, so rather don't say that we wouldn't have come to the world, and instead say it's as if we wouldn't have come to the world. Why? Why can't you suggest that? A different reading. It's supposed to be literally that we wouldn't have been born. Rather, it would have been as if we wouldn't have been born. Why? Because lo lemeimra di lochatu lahavamaisi. Because what the implication would be is that if we hadn't sinned, l'chata ego, there would have been no death. We would have not just, for science. So beforehand, we thought we're going to be these divine angelic beings. Now we're saying that at the beginning of the Torah, we would have become immortal. All right, sounds pretty good. Why is that a problem? Because haksiv, parshas yevamos, parshas nachlos, it sounds like that in the Torah itself, it has these halachos that are only relevant when people die, such as yibum and anachla, when a person dies and their children inherit from them. So if you're telling me that accepting the Torah made the Jewish people immortal, so why would there be halachos that are contingent upon people dying? So the Gemara says, no, al tnai. Those halachos were only stated unconditionally, that if you don't sin, then you're immortal. There'll never be halachas of yibum, there'll never be halachas of nachlos. However, if you sin, and therefore death is introduced back into the world, then yibum will be applicable, and so too will nachlos. So Gemara says, Chimik siv, cry al tanai. Is it really possible that the Torah is writing psukim conditionally? So it says, in, yeah. Why? The hachi we saw this Gemara earlier on Gimel Mar Aleph, Amar Rishon ben Lakish, Rishon Lakish talk, My dechti, why does it say Vayir Vayivoker Yom Hashishi? Again, the Hei idea, the sixth day. So we saw on Gimel Aleph, Melamish Hidna Kadosh Baruch Hu Masa Bereishis, that God made a condition with the cosmos. V'amar, and he said to them, Imakav Misos Torah Mutaf. If the Jewish people accept the Torah, great. V'imlav, Aksot Chametov Vavo. But if not, everything will be returned back to chaos and the void. So it sounds like here that, yeah, the Torah could be right conditionally, and it sounds like, therefore, not that we become these divine angelic beings that couldn't have children or wouldn't have children, but rather we would have been immortal. So Mor says Meisfei, the problem. It says that the Torah here in Dvarim, Mi Tein Vehaya Levavam Zelahem. So the full reading of the pasuk is, which read inside, Mi Tein Vehaya Levavam Zelahem the Yeroti. So it sounds like you should have Yir Hashemayim, Vishmor Kol Mitzvotai Kol Yamim, and they would guard my mitzvahs all days. L'mani Tav Lahem V'neim Lo'olam. So it would be good for them and their children forever. So the Gemara says it can't be meaning Levatel Mehem Malcha Mavas Iyasher. It's impossible to say this is referring to the annihilation or the neutralization of the angel of death. Shvar Nigzar Gzera. Because the Gzera is already made that from the time of Adam Harishon that it would be death in the world. Halokiblu Yisrael Satorah. Shikvar Nigzar Gzera. Halokiblu Yisrael Satorah. El Kadesh Lotia Uma of Losh Shalatas Behen. So Gemara, now we've gone to the third stage. So first we're suggesting that at Har Sinai we became these quasi divine beings. Next we're suggesting at Har Sinai we became basically immortal. Now we're saying, no. What was happening at Har Sinai is that if we accept the Torah and we live within concert with the Torah's values, then no other nation could possibly conquer us. Shenamar, as it says, L'ma yitav lehem levnehem adolam. The drush of the pasuk means, not to say that we'd be immortal, which you might say adolam means, that we're going to live forever, but rather, we're going to live in peace and prosperity forever, meaning there's going to be no other power that's going to take over us. Hud'amr ki aitana, so therefore we say, well, what was Rish Lakish saying? Rish Lakish was saying as follows, like a different town. The town of Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi said, Lo kibli sos a Torah al-Kadish al-Yehem ma'alcha ma'alcha shalat behen. Apparently we have a machlokas between the Tanayim. Was it that the promise was going to be a very naturalistic promise? That if you accept the Torah, you'll have tremendous economic success and politically you're going to be protected? Or is it more of a supernatural statement being made to them that by accepting the Torah, death will be defeated? So apparently that's what Rabbi Yossi said. That we said we're only going to accept the Torah if death will be defeated. Shneamar, as it says, the pasuk we saw earlier, Ani amarti Elohim atem, ubnei yon kulchem, you behold, you are these quasi-divine beings. And then what happened though? We messed up, and therefore achin kadam tumutun, and therefore death gets reintroduced into the world. Rabbi Yossi Nami, but what does Rabbi Yossi do with the pasuk that we just interpreted to mean not immortality, but rather economic success? It says l'mani tav lahem uvnehem adolam. So says Rabbi Yossi, what could possibly be the greatest thing if not to live forever? Tova hu dehaviham misa ika. Says, Amr Lacha, Kevin Delashka Misa in Lacha Togel Mizu. How could there be any good when there's death? And think about that for a second. Like, the fact that like, we're going to die, and our loved ones will die, and perhaps, you know, even a crazier thing, they did a whole study, which is how many of us can actually name all of our great grandparents? It's very few people. Are you thinking now, like, how many of us can actually do it? I know I can. And they found maybe on average 5% of people can actually name all of their great grandparents. Think about it. Think of how, right, you know, exactly. Think of it. We are who we are today due to them. Meaning to say, it's a big muster that, we're going to be forgotten. So says Rav Yossi, how could you say there's going to be any tov when death is such a prominent feature? Death is what's final. The death is an ever-present. Once we're born, we move towards death. How could there be any good? So now we put it around. Rabbi Yossi, you made a great argument. Tanakama, what do you do with the pasuk that says that now you're going to die? It sounds like at one point you weren't going to die, and now you're going to die. So Gemara says, my misa, what's being referenced here? Not actual death, because again, according to the Tanakama, immortality was never in the conversation. Anios, the reference here isn't to actual mortality, it's referring to poverty. The Amar Mar, the Mars teaches, Arbachav Shuvin Kemesim. There are four who are considered dead, even though they aren't actually physically dead. Elohen, who are they? Ani, a pauper, Suma, a blind person, Umitzora, and someone who is struck with leprosy, Umisha in Lobanim, someone who has no children. Ani, how do we know this? Tiksiv, it says regarding a poor person, Kimesu Kol Nashim. This is in a pasuk in Shmos that all the people died. So the Gemara says that the reference here to people dying was Dasam Viram. But the Gemara says, well, that's not possible. Right? Meaning that they didn't die. They were still existed. Ella Shodim Nechseihem. You see that there's an association here that one who is in poverty, impoverished, is a form of death. Suma, someone who's blind, exceed. It says in Echa, B'machashim Hoshivani Kimesei Olam. In the darkness, you placed me like the dead of the world. Again, this association of one who lives in darkness, again, it makes us appreciate and be sensitive to these people's experiences. Don't let me be like a dead person. Again, this association between death and a mitzvah. And finally, Mishein lo banim, someone who doesn't have kids, God forbid, exceed, as it says, regarding our matriarch, Havali banim ve'im ayin mesa anochi. That if I don't have children, then basically I'm good as dead. So what we've seen today, again, for some wild agadatas here, Adam Amud Bet too. In Avodah Zarah is first of all this notion of, at least again, according to Rashi, an example of divine determinism. Both David and Bnei Israel had no choice but to sin by the Chetah Egel and by Bat Sheva in order to show us the opening for tshuva. The tshuva is always an option, regardless if we sin as a community or as individuals. Then we saw this idea of the impact of our mitzvos and our aveos in the next world. And we had this very, wild conversation about Reish Lakish and others about the impact of Har Sinai. And we started with saying that we basically were going to become these supernatural beings. Next was immortality. And finally, it was a sense of economic security. And we saw it was actually a machlokas tanayim between Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakhama, how to interpret this event. Was it supernatural? Was it just natural, but with some economic success and political protection? So with that, let's continue with Hey, I'm going to bet tomorrow.